Okay, so we're up to chapter 32. We're doing the laws of tefillin. And this is about the portions of the tefillin. And we're up to subsection 42, membeis. We started yesterday, but we quickly went out. Now, when the scribe is writing the portions of the tefillin, the same thing is true for all other things also, but right now we're learning the laws of tefillin. If he doesn't know the parshios that he's writing, imena parshios shguris b'fiv, they're not sort of, he's not very familiar with his mouth knowing these portions, tzorich sheyichtev mitoch haktav, he has to write from a writing. So in other words, he has to look somewhere, another place, and write. He shouldn't write from memory because he's liable to make a mistake. Shema yite, he's liable to, maybe he'll make a mistake. Now, what happens if he knows part of it by heart, not all of it? V'im miktzas ha-parshish guru b'fif, if part of the portion is common in his mouth, which means he knows part of it, muter lichtav oisim miktzas ba'peh, then you're permitted to write that part that you know, you can do that by heart, v'ashar mitoch haksav, and the rest you should do from the writing. Now, so he says, in section Mem Gimel, what happens when you are writing it orally? Kshekoyse bal peh, when you're writing it orally from your memory, mipnei shein shguris b'fiv, because you do know the words clearly, so you're writing it orally. But tzorich likris kol teva b'fiv koydim shiichtevenu. You must read out first the word with your mouth before you write it, because shemayita v'yagdim hamulchoris machmas shigirus b'hem. Because you might make a mistake and you might write what comes later because of you are so used to it. So you might, out of memory, maybe you're going to say the next words before you write the first one. Bafilu im echad makra oisoy mila b'mila. But even if somebody is reading it for you, let's say somebody is reading you, telling you the word, word for word, so he tells you, the person also needs to, on his own, express each word and word he has to express with his mouth. But when you are writing, I have to scream louder than them over there. Shh.
Very bad acoustics.
Avalim mitoy chaksav. But if he writes from writing, which means he sees the writing, ain't tzarich lohitzi b'fiv, then he does not have to express it verbally. If he's looking at it, then he can look from the writing. Shadiyosei b'ksav shalifonov, because looking at a writing in front of you, b'yeles kimayakriya b'fiv, helps just like one would read it with his mouth. Avol im kosav mitoy chaksa. B'med vorim amurim kshein shiguris b'fiv. That's only if it is common in his mouth, but he's writing. Okay, kosav b'afu pikein kosav mitoy chaksav. You know the words. You're still looking at it. Then you don't have to express it. But avolim einam shiguris b'fiv. But if they're not comfortable, you're not clear in your mouth, then you have to write from the writing. So then just looking at it in writing does not help, so that he shouldn't need to express every word in his mouth before he writes it. Basically, just to stay safe, it looks like in all cases, it's quoted as safe, before you write the word, say the word with your mouth. So if you're writing v'hoya, so say v'hoya. Im, im, shamoa, shamoa. Before you say it, write it. He says, if you are familiar with the words, and you're looking at it in writing, then you don't have to say it to verbalize it. But if you're not familiar, in most cases, you have to verbalize it. So say the letter beforehand. So he says, further, he says, if you're looking, let's say you don't know Hebrew, right? Let's say you don't. And you're looking in the sitter, right? You're looking in the sitter, or you're looking in a chumash, let's say you're writing the same word, but you don't know how to read the Hebrew. All what you know is you know how to trace. You know, you see, oh, an aleph, you write an aleph. A mem, you write a mem. So, but you don't really know how to read it, but you're just tracing it. So then he says, you're not allowed to write then. The scribe, who's allowed to be a scribe, he only if he knows how to read. But if he's just tracing it, then he's no good. Even if you are doing it because you're looking somewhere else, it's only if you know how to read are you allowed to copy the are you allowed to write it from the writing. For if you don't know how to read, even though you know how to form the letters, you know how to write the letters, it's very easy to make a mistake. You may not sense, you may not feel. It's too dangerous. We're worried about that you may... Now, we don't say, as you see, we don't want you to make a mistake because we don't want you to throw away these portions. You know, these are holy parshas. So, lechatchila, one is not allowed to say, okay, let me write it and then we're going to go check it out and make sure that it's kosher. You have to write it in a way that is the right way. Now, further, he says in Sif Memhei, he says, "Tzorich la'niach cholok b'chol parsha l'maylo u'lamata ma'ashitos." You must leave some empty space in each portion, above and below the lines. There has to be a space, and the space is kimoychatzi tzipoyden. That is a they call it a half of a tzipoid and a half of a nail. Don't know exactly how much it is, which the Alter Rebbe is going to discuss. What does it mean? How much space needs there be in the top and the bottom of between each parsha? Yesh Emrim, there is those that say, Sheshir Zeh Lemailo, what is the amount above the parsha? Is Kidei Gago Shalamed. That is like the roof of the Lamed. As you know, the Lamed goes above the line. The letter Lamed has a leg that goes on the top. So the amount of on top that you need space is for the letter of the Lamed that going up. And what is the level of Lamata? What is Lamata? That is like Shir Chof, like the end of Chof, which goes below the line. So that is the amount that you need in the bottom. So bottom is like the top of the lamed, and on the bottom is like the bottom of the chof, or a nun. Also the nun, the straight nun, the nun pshutim, they go down into the bottom line. And the reason that you do that is kideishi yikam hem yimukafim gevilim izdamnusham, so that they should have parchments around them. Because if you don't have on the top that space, if you're going to have the lamed going up all the way to the top, if it's going to happen to have a lamed, or you're going to happen to get a chaf in the bottom, you're not going to have any parchment around it, because if you start writing so close to the top and then you come to the lamed is going to reach all the way to the edge of the parchment. That's no good, because we need to have parchment surrounding every letter. So if you're going to not leave that space over there for enough for that lamed, then you're going to start writing higher. If you're going to happen to come across a lamed on the top or a chaf or a nun on the bottom, then you're not going to have that space. So that's why you need to leave that space. But the Yesh Emrim and other people say that this amount, when we say that you need a half of a tzipoyden, that amount is talking about lemaile megagah shel lamed. That is above the roof of the lamed, above the stretch of the lamed. Ulamato, and below, when we're talking about, is lamato mechov v'nun pshuta. We're talking about the extra is beyond the bottom of the chof and the nun. Over there, you need to put the chatzit zepoyden. We should take into consideration and worry about their words to begin with. So when you write, you just leave a little bit more space on the top and a little bit more space on the bottom. But to the beginning of the parchment, in other words, your right margin or your left margin, he says, you don't have to leave any margin, any space. You can start at the corner, which means you're going to leave a drop of space because you're not going to be able to write. But he says, there's no shear. But he says, the custom of the scribes, but the scribes have the tradition to leave a little space in the beginning and the end. They do leave
some margins. And I don't know if you've gone to school and they teach you how to write, they teach you how to write correctly to read the proper spaces. But one of the things of the Torah is that things have to be done in a beautiful way. You want the Torah or the portions, everything to look beautiful. You don't want it to look messy, you don't want it to look crooked, you don't want it to look like a mess. You want to make sure that it's beautiful. Let's do one more halacha. Halacha Memvav. He says, Tzorich lizor lechatchil l'nir b'teva l'teva. In between each word and word, you have to leave space. K'molayis k'tana. This should be the size when it takes a small letter, which is Shehu Yud. The letter Yud, the size of the letter Yud should be the space that is in between each letter, each word and word. U'b'di'evet ain't lifsel. But after the fact, let's say you wrote it even closer, so that you don't have even, it looks like, so it says, ain't lifsel, we should not disqualify this Torah, or this parsha, elim kenidus kisteva achas, unless it appears like one word, litinoik she'ein elechochem v'letipesh, to a child who is not smart or not foolish, that child would read it as two separate words, even if it doesn't even have that space like a yud in between, it's okay. As over there, it talks about the same rule as far as Sefer Torah. And same thing is, to begin with, that the space between one letter and the next letter, here before we were talking about between one word and the other word, you need a space like the letter Yud, the small letter. But in between letters themselves, there should only be kichut asayru, only like a here, just a drop, a little, a very small space between letter and letter.
So you can still see the
parchment. Yeah, but after the fact in lifsel, elaim kenidus ateva chaluka l'shtayim, when we can disqualify it, if it looks like two separate words, letinuk she'ena lechochm letipesh, to a child who is not smart and not foolish, if he'll look at it and he'll say these are two words, k'mayish shekos shom b'sefer Torah is written over there, with regards to a Sefer Torah, the same halachas. So now, so we have like this. So between one word and the other word, you need like a small letter. Between letter and letter, you need like a here. Now, the yesh emirim shalachatchilat zodech laniyah gam kim b'shita l'shita kimo l'shita kimo b'sefer Torah. There's some that say that the lines, in between the lines, the space between one line and the next line has to be the size of the line. Just like by a Sefer Torah we do that, that you need the spaces, one line, and then you start the next line, and you leave the space between line and line, equals the line. For the Yesh Emirim Tzein Tzorech L'dak D'Buzer Elo B'Sefer Torah. Some say that the only place you have to worry about this is by Sefer Torah. V'chein Noigin HaSoferim, so is the custom of the scribes, Shei M'dak D'Gim B'Zer B'Tfilim Mezuzas. That when they write the Tfilim of the Mezuzas, They don't make sure that there is a space. They light the lines very, very close to each other. Actually, when you look at the Tefillin and Mezuzah, you see the lines are very, very close to each other. The spacing is not.
They have to fit it into something.
Yeah, well, the small mezuzahs. You know, it's more difficult to write them than the larger mezuzahs because they. Take more precision. You know, you need more craftsmanship to write those mezuzahs, and that's why actually people think that small mezuzahs are cheaper, but they should actually be more expensive because they're more difficult to write and to produce. Okay, so here we have basically the rules. Between word and word is a yud, between letter and letter is a here. And between line to line, we don't really care. Only by Sefer Torah needs to be the amount of the space. Okay, we'll leave it over here.